big Monday. After a tremendous series between the Dodgers and the San Diego Padres, I get to come back from vacation in the middle of all this. Ireland, how did it go without me?
Fine. And yeah. The Dodgers series, did you get to see any of it?
Yeah, I got in Saturday afternoon, so I saw the end of the Saturday game. I saw the Mookie catch, and then I saw yesterday's game where Brewster, Gratterall, and Dennis Santana kind of blew the lead for Trevor Bauer. But I did not see the Friday game, which was apparently like just game for the ages kind of stuff.
It might be the best regular season game I've ever seen. It had everything.
Say that one more time. Best regular season game you've ever seen?
Regular season, yeah.
Wow.
Here's the thing. Those teams hate each other. There was a bench-clearing brawl. They were throwing at each other. They were talking crap. It went three times I thought the Padres had it. Three times I thought the Dodgers had it. Then it goes to extra innings, and now you start with the runner on second base. And so each team, I mean, it had everything. And then the Betts catch on Saturday night, I was trying to think, you know, Andrew Benintendi had that one catch that ended a playoff game a few years ago.
Right.
But that was the only one I could think of that was a better catch to end a game. Can you think of one that was better than that to end a game?
No, other than this Benintendi one was dramatic because he caught it in the very heel of the glove. I mean, at the very heel of the glove hung on to it.
Yeah, unbelievable catch. And then yesterday's game was good until those two guys kind of wet the bed at the end.
Yeah.
But it's going to – and, you know, they play again this weekend.
Yeah, four games this weekend, starting Thursday at Dodger Stadium with fans in the building, which should be fun.
Yeah, so – and then the Lakers look like they're staving off the play-in tournament. They're not there yet. They play again tonight at Staples Center against Utah. While you were gone, they basically – played 500. They won a game, lost a game, won a game, lost a game. And
is Utah? What's the story on Utah? Gobert, Donovan Mitchell.
Mitchell out, Gobert and Conley in.
Okay.
So it's going to be more of a traditional Utah team tonight. But the gift they've been given is that Dallas is reeling.
Dallas loses to Sacramento.
Four out of five at home. And last night to Sacramento, who had a 9-game losing streak. So it looks like the Lakers are going to be in the top six, which is good news for them, and it looks like we're going to get Anthony Davis back later this week. So that's exciting, and I think LeBron's a possibility for next week.
Wow.
So a lot going on.
And
now
then if Drummond keeps rolling like Drummond's rolling, if he did offensively on Saturday, they are just going to be beasts when everybody comes back.
Yeah, they're really good, and they're playing good defense, and there's nothing to believe. Now, the one thing that could still happen, which would be fascinating.
Yeah.
Is that they could play the Clippers in the first round.
Yeah.
Right now they're fifth. And I ran the numbers on this. You know, Basketball Reference has a computer program that'll tell you, like, what the percentage
is. Is that available only to play-by-play guys?
No.
Go
to Basketball Reference and you can look at it. So here's here's what it said. Now, keep in mind we have two games in Dallas later this week.
Yes.
But right now, as we sit here, the Lakers have a 60% chance to finish fifth. 12% chance they slide to six, and a very small chance, less than 5%, they fall to seven or eight. So if they were to slide to six, so a little more of a 10% chance, they would play the Clippers in the first round.
Six versus three.
Which is what we've been asking for around here for years. The Lakers have never played the Clippers in the
first
round.
But not in the first round. That's not something we've been looking forward to in the first round.
I don't care. I mean, the Clippers are extremely cocky.
Yeah, so, I mean they are cocky. I think that team is the biggest challenge to the Lakers. I think they're the biggest challenge to the Lakers.
I know
as
Phoenix
much
is pretty
as I
good.
Hate the Clippers.
Phoenix is pretty good. Utah's pretty good.
Yeah, Utah's okay. Utah is very vulnerable. Denver's very vulnerable. Those teams don't scare me.
If the season ended today, they'd get Denver in the first round, which is who you want. Because while you were gone, Jamal Murray blew out his knee, and his season's over.
Exactly. Yeah, by the way, hard to follow things in Mexico.
So now, let me ask you about this Mexico thing. Did you have any COVID-related issues? Like, did you feel safe?
Totally felt safe. And I feel especially safe with the vaccine. I mean, there was research that came out that says out of 70 million people or however many have been vaccinated, only 5,000 have contracted COVID after they've been vaccinated, so I feel really safe from that perspective. The airport, everybody kept their distance. Everybody was smart. Everybody wore a mask. There was what's weird is you have to get a COVID test to come back into the country. So you had to get a COVID test in order to get back into the United States, which we did on Saturday. But spectacular trip, amazing trip. I'm going to give an unsolicited shout out to this hotel, Cala de Mar, which is in Ixtapa. Absolutely beautiful, spectacular. The most beautiful hotel I've ever stayed at, and I've stayed at a whole bunch of hotels.
Yeah, but normally you have a rule you won't pay more than, what is it, $300 a night?
And didn't. This was $250.
Yeah. So your point of reference on hotels is not great.
Yeah, I'm not Captain Terranea.
Well, or and you don't get to stay in all the fancy schmancy Laker hotels.
No, exactly.
Yeah,
you got all that 5-star stuff.
So now one thing that I'm kind of selfishly rooting for,
yep,
is that the Lakers don't have to take the play-in tournament.
Yeah.
And then I could take that week off at the end of May.
Nice, nice.
But, you know, I can't really plan on it until the numbers kind of work out. So the difference is the hotel that – my favorite hotel anywhere in Hawaii, I looked at what they're charging now that,
yep,
they're back open again. $1,600 a night. What do you think?
What? $1,600 a night?
$1,600 a night. And that's for, like, the basic room.
You would never do that.
No. God, no. When I stayed there last time, it was for somebody's wedding.
Yeah.
And it was
$400. Wow, $1,600 a night is insane.
Yeah,
I mean, what we're finding is that I think people in L.A. especially, they get vaccinated, they want to travel somewhere. It tends to be Hawaii, tends to be Palm Springs. There are a lot of houses being rented in Palm Springs and people staying out there and kind of stuff. So people looking to travel a little bit and scratching that itch. But we went all the way down to Ixtapa. It was completely worth it. Completely worth it. Just an amazing trip. The one thing, I'll tell you something weird, though. This is, and this is weird to me. So I've got this thing called Global Entry. Do you know what that is?
I got it too. Yeah.
Okay. So Global Entry, you go through this entire process, and you end up with this card that allows you to skip customs when you come back into the United States. So all you had to do when you came back in was get your picture taken, and they knew exactly who you were just by the picture. The facial recognition, without even seeing the passport, said, oh, yeah, that's Steve Mashonsky. He can come back into the country. This facial recognition stuff is insane.
Yeah, and it's completely worth doing. Like, I went over there, and you got to go to the airport and sign up for it, but it,
yes,
takes, like, 20 minutes, and then it'll save you hours for the rest of your life.
Yeah, no, it's a great deal. It's a great deal. So, and Momo did okay last week?
Yeah, she was great.
Good, good. So coming up for you today on the show, we will let you know that Joe Davis is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. I thought Joe Davis was fantastic all weekend long.
Yeah,
he and Oral are a state-of-the-art broadcast team.
And, you know, the amazing thing about those guys is that they're doing that from a studio at Dodger Stadium. They're not even
weird
there. And
yeah, it's really
weird.
And
you totally forget that listening to those guys after like 2 minutes.
Yeah, why do they do it at Dodger Stadium when the game is in San Diego? It doesn't make any logical sense to me.
COVID. No local broadcasters that I know of in any sport are traveling. Most of the network guys aren't traveling.
But why wouldn't they just do it at Spectrum?
Because
why wouldn't they just do it over there from a studio where they get big monitors and stuff?
Well, because I think they've set them up with big monitors at a studio at Dodger Stadium.
I thought they did a great job. And by the way, I learned so much from Oral Hershiser as I am watching a game. He is so smart about pitching. He's so smart about the way those pitches are going to chart. And exactly what to expect from each reliever and each starting pitcher. Really, really good. Really good.
Well, they are. And I got to tell you, what day was Kenley Jansen on the show? Was that Thursday or Friday? Friday, I think. That's right, because they were in San Diego on Friday. Mace, that dude completely won me over. I am now rooting hard for him. Now, I don't know. I still don't think he's going to get 35 saves. You saw that. The one time they brought him in the Padres series, he blew the save.
Was Friday night. Was that a blown save Friday night?
Yep. Yeah, they had a one-run lead, and they tied it. The Padres tied it, and that's what sent the game to extra innings. But then the Dodgers won it in extra innings.
Right. So, yeah, no, and Kenley's got 3 saves now. I think he's throwing the ball really well. Again, I didn't see the games this last week. I didn't see the game on Friday. But – you know, he's throwing the ball well. They've got other options, but sometimes those options don't work. Blake Treinen is an option. Obviously, Brusdar Graterol didn't work yesterday, but that's the first game back from the DL for the IL for him. They can go to David Price, as they did, who got a two-inning save. Yeah, it's been fantastic. Closing with a former Cy Young Award winner. I mean, that team is so friggin' loaded. And the incredible thing is, guys are contributing. You know, guys like Zach McKinstry is fantastic.
Yeah, he's
fantastic.
Like him and Justin Turner are their hottest hitters.
Yeah, and McKinstry has become the new Kike Hernandez. You can stick him anywhere on the field.
And, you know, way more affordable.
And, you know, I don't know if you know this, but the 2016 draft for the Dodgers – was just a crazy draft.
McKinstry was in it.
Tony Gonsolin,
Will Smith in it?
Will Smith was in that draft. Yeah, I mean,
Gavin Lux was in that draft.
Gavin Lux, that 2016 draft. Somebody got that thing right like crazy because they are absolutely loaded and deep because of that, draft. But I thought... Generally speaking, I think the Padres are very, very good. I like their pitching staff. Yu Darvish threw as well as I expected Yu Darvish to throw.
He only gave up one run, I think.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, had a perfect game through 4 2/3 innings. You got Darvish. You've got Blake Snell. Denilson Lamed is coming back tonight. I like their rotation. Their bullpen is solid. Their bullpen is bucked up by the fact that they get to pitch at Petco Park, which there's an advantage to that. And I think everyday lineup, really solid. If you look at Cronenworth, followed by Tatis Jr., followed by Machado, followed by Hosmer, that is a really tough stretch. Now, do I think they are going to challenge the Dodgers for the National League West? Absolutely not. I still think the Dodgers win that game, that division by 5 to 7 games. That's the way I'm thinking of it right now. And the Dodgers started the year at 12-3, which is an incredible start to the season.
And they are really fun to watch. Like, they're never out of it. I even when they fell behind last night, I thought, they might come back.
I thought so, too.
Yeah, they might come back and win it.
I thought that's just the kind of thing they would do. No, I mean, best team in baseball, hands down. And this this rivalry, and I'm gonna say, obviously, it's not – people are saying, well, is it Red Sox-Yankees? No, it's not Red Sox-Yankees. That thing goes on for 100 years back. But Dodgers-Padres is the best rivalry, I think, in baseball at this moment. They are, in my estimation, the two best teams in Major League Baseball. They are playing in the same exact same division, and they play 19 times, 16 times remaining on the schedule. I mean, I think it's going to be really fun to watch those two teams go at it this year.
While you were gone, we threw out just what we were calling an impossible hypothetical.
Okay.
And it was, we got more reaction to it than I think anything that, at least on social media, than anything we've ever done. Michael and I are divided on it.
Okay.
Nobody knows. So here was the impossible hypothetical.
Okay.
God forbid the Clippers and the Celtics meet in the finals. You have to pick a side. You can't say, even O'Shea picked a side. You can't say, I wouldn't watch or anything. You have to pick one or the other to root for. Who would you root for?
That is between a rock and a hard place. That race to total number of banners means something to me. So I would find myself leaning towards lightly rooting for the Clippers.
You would land up where O'Shea and I landed up. Michael had a convincing argument.
Really?
To go to the other side. Here was his argument. If the Celtics won, their fans would be insufferable and obnoxious, but at least they'd be 2,500 miles away. We wouldn't have to see them.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's a good point.
If the Clippers won, their fans would be completely insufferable and obnoxious, and guys like Clipper Darryl would be in his face every day because they live here. And I thought, you know, that's an excellent point, but I'm gonna go with one of the last things the late, great Dr. Buss told me. The answer is always anybody but the Celtics. You can't, if you're a Laker fan, you can't root for the Celtics.
Well, you don't want them to get 18.
Anybody but the Celtics.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
anybody but the
in
Celtics.
This case, it's the Clippers.
Yeah, right. That would be a terrible scenario.
But plus, I don't think it's going to come up because I'm feeling much better about the Lakers. You know, injuries have just ransacked the NBA. Kevin Durant got hurt again over the weekend.
I know.
So who knows what the playoffs will be like, but the Lakers appear to be getting their guys back just in time while other teams are starting to lose people.
All right, you know, so there are a bunch of ways to reach the show, and we want to hear from you today in any way that you want to hear from us or whatever. Okay, so you can tweet us at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E, at L-A Ireland. You can also email the show, venicemace@gmail.com, or you can email John directly. What's that address?
venicemace@gmail.com.
There you go. And, of course, you can call the show 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. Oh, God, I got something I want to drop in the next segment. A new impression from Dana Carvey. I want you to hear it, okay?
Yeah.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Again, it's already pick on Mason time. Go ahead.
It's not
let
like
her rip.
It's not
let
like
her rip.
He stopped when you were gone. He was, you know, he just kept it. It's crispy and crisp.
Did he mock me while I was gone? Of course he did.
You were kind of out of sight, out of mind.
Good. That's the way I wanted. I did not go off the grid for this particular trip, John.
You've never
as
gone
you
off
as
the
you
grid.
Know as you know because we. Texted a lot on Friday.
Yeah.
There was a thing kicking around, and I wanted to talk to you about it. But I did not go off the grid, but never turned the TV on, which was an interesting experience.
I'm trying to think if you missed anything. The baseball game you missed Friday night was tremendous. But
we don't get Padres-Dodgers in Mexico.
But I would
that
imagine.
Wait. What do you mean?
I don't think we got the game in Mexico.
Well, you didn't turn it on, so you wouldn't know, right?
Right, but I had no reason to believe that we would get the game.
Oh, no, you get it, trust me.
Really?
Yeah.
On regular TV?
Well, I get it on my phone.
Yeah, you get it anywhere now, man.
Oh, well, I did not participate.
Wait, I did not participate in that.
I didn't watch any TV. I decided I'm not watching any TV.
I watched, when I was in Italy, I watched, you know, anything I wanted.
Yeah, I tried to go this vacation without watching TV. It's a really interesting experience to all of a sudden have that off the table. Because normally it's always running in the background.
Right.
The TV is always on at my house.
All right, so in Mexico at this resort, did you have to wear a mask?
Yes, you did until you wore it until you got down to like the pool and the beach and then you take it off, right? You'd wear it around in the hallways and stuff. You'd put it on when somebody delivered room service. But for the most part, we were mask-free. I mean, I don't know. From what I hear, even though we're double vaccinated, you're still supposed to wear a mask.
Yeah, there's a lot of debate going on about that. You know, and it kind of heated up while you were gone because Texas and Florida, which are basically two states that are wide open.
Yeah.
Their corona numbers are way down and, you know, other places that are completely locked down, like the kids are in school in Texas and Florida.
Yeah, I mean they've got the third and fourth highest death rates in the country.
Right, but percentage wise, it's the same as California's.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So it depends, you know, who you believe. But I think it's starting to trend towards getting.
Oh, it's obviously we're getting there. By the way, 877-710 ESPN. Are you scared of the Padres? I got my first package of Top Shot NFTs, John. I was very excited. Lindsay, I got my first pack.
Okay, so what did you pay for these?
$11.
Okay.
$11.
I actually have a question coming up in Fast Track that has to deal with NFTs.
Okay, want to hear what's in my pack?
Yeah.
I got five NFTs.
Now, for people that have been in the dark, NFT stands for non-fungible token. These are moments that are digital.
Yep.
That you're one of... Does it tell you how many other people own your particular NFT?
It does
NFT?
Not. I can tell you that none of mine are good.
Okay.
Like,
and you know
one
this
of them,
how?
What's that? I know you, this. Well, I'll tell you what they are, and you tell me if they're good.
Okay.
Brandon Clark dunk.
No.
Nothing. Ketty Osmond block.
No. Plays for Cleveland.
Christian Wood dunk.
Maybe one day if he gets really good.
Dwight Howard dunk.
With the Sixers?
Yeah.
Well, if the Sixers win it, it might be worth something.
DeAndre Jordan block. Please. Those are my moments.
The disappointment in John's voice. No.
I got all really, really NFTs.
Your best hope is that Christian Wood becomes an all-star or Dwight Howard wins another title.
Well, I'll give you another. There are 20,000 of these Christian Wood NFT dunks of this particular one.
Yeah, so that's not exactly
this one will never be worth anything.
Never
be worth anything.
Well, someone of LeBron the other day sold for $500,000.
Oh, yeah, I know. If you get lucky on the right one, that's why I'm going to keep doing it. Lindsay, you got lucky on one of them, didn't you?
Well, she sold one of them.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have her, but...
Lindsay's on with IT. We're having some technical stuff.
But I know that she moved quick and made some money right out of the gate.
Yeah, she sold one for like $250. So you can make money at it. I'm going to keep buying packs. I mean, hell, it's $11. Maybe you hit the jackpot. It's actually kind of fun to open it and see what you get. It was very exciting until it wasn't. When I saw Ketty Osmond block, I was like, oh, God, Ketty Osmond block. What am I going to do with that? But it's actually kind of fun to open a pack and see what's in there, which was cool. All right, so, John, everybody in the world, it seemed like, during the last presidency, did a Donald Trump impression. There hasn't really been a good Joe Biden impression that I have heard until I heard Dana Carvey do it on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. Listen to this and tell me how good this is.
I do him at the town hall when he's like the gentle father to the country, and he looks like the alien who came off the spaceship in Close Encounters.
Yes.
Folks, come on, folks. Let's get real. I'm not kidding around here. You know, we got to do the thing. We did Barack. We did the deal, you know. And, my dad, you know, lost his job in Scranton. No joke. No joke. I'm not being a wise guy here. I said, Pops, why'd you lose? He said, Joe, I did. My mom said, that's the cookie. The crumble. She says, what do it? You know, and here's the deal. Number one, the thing that they said. Come on. Number two, the two part. Folks, three, you know, come on. I'm not kidding around. No rocket science. Here's the deal. Come on now. Now that he told, he knew it floated. He told Bob Woodward, Joanne Woodward. He told.
I think that is a great impression.
Is perfect.
Yeah,
I mean, he doesn't sound like Biden, but his cadence is like
Here's the deal, folks.
Right.
Yeah, Dana Carvey's a friggin' genius. That is a great impression.
Dana doesn't sound old enough to be Biden, but the way he delivers that is like. The cadence is perfect.
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely on the money. Absolutely on the money. All right. So big game tonight. And now we're feeling a lot more comfortable about where we are. Right? As Laker fans, we're feeling more comfortable about where we are.
Well, think about this. Okay. I would actually, if the season ended today, even though the Clippers would be the 3 and the Lakers would be the 5, I'd rather be the Lakers. Here's why. Your first round matchup would be against Denver.
Yep.
That's who everybody wants to play now that Jamal Murray's out.
Oh, you wouldn't see the Clippers until the
conference finals.
Western Conference finals.
So then if you win, if the Lakers beat Denver, they would play Utah, who they beat on Saturday and I think match up pretty well against. And then they would play whoever comes out of the other side. Now the Clippers would have to play Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum and Portland, who, you know, Dame could always just take over a game and knock you out. So, and then if the Clippers got past that, they would have to play Phoenix in Phoenix, and Phoenix is really good this year.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
very good.
And then they would have to play the Lakers. So, now, I know all this stuff could shift. There's still 15, 16 games for most of these teams left.
Of course.
But right now, the Lakers, particularly with who they're getting back, are sitting in a really good spot.
Email from Byron Walton. Hey, John, big fan of the show. Oh, he addresses it to you.
What is my email?
Yeah. Hey, John, I'm a big fan of the show. It's I'm a big rig driver. Listen to you guys and gals at work daily. Michael Thompson is an idiot. Keep up the good work, Byron.
Now, why would he say that?
I have no idea. He did put an emoticon, or emoji after it, so I know it's, I sometimes say emoticon. He did put emoji after it, so I guess he's just joking around. Well, all right, Doc.
I know we got Joe Davis coming up. I got to tell you, you know, you were saying how much you learned from Oral Hershiser. We got to ask Joe about that, because I learned stuff from Michael. I've been working with Michael for like 20 years, and I learned stuff from him doing games that I'm still learning stuff. I bet you Joe, like, Joe comes across like he's like super prepared and knows everything, and I'm sure he is. But man, I bet you he's learning stuff left and right from Oral. Like,
absolutely.
Well, I'll save it for Joe. But the other day, Oral pointed out something that I've been watching baseball for 30 years, never thought about until Oral brought it up. And he does it all the time. So we'll get into that with Joe.
All right, cool. Joe Davis of the Dodgers play-by-play is going to join us coming up next for you. He, of course, called the weekend series Dodgers-Padres. And at 2 o'clock today is Fast Track. Make sure you stay here for that. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so my screw up, it's Joe Davis and 10. Make sure you're here for that, Joe Davis and 10. And then at 1:55 comes Fast Track. You know,
by the way, Mace, you know that the Dodgers are 13-3, and they're doing it without Bellinger, who has a hairline fracture in his leg, and Mookie sat out like 4 games.
Yeah, he missed some games too. Yeah,
so
no, it's incredible what they're doing.
It's not just the high paid guys that are, you know, that are getting it done for them. They are, like, for example, the Yankees are in last place.
Yep, 5-10.
Yankees can't figure it out.
Yep.
And the Dodgers figure it out no matter who goes down. And their pitching is insane. They, like, I don't know if I was the opponent and I could pick the Dodger pitcher to go up against, who I would pick. But I'll tell you this.
Pitcher? That's a good question.
If you were
an opponent, who would you want to face from the Dodgers?
People would say, well, they'll just take the back of the rotation with Urias or Dustin May.
Those guys have been just as good
as Kershaw and Buehler.
Yeah,
and Trevor Bauer's not giving up any runs.
Yeah, no, Trevor Bauer is incredible. He's got such unbelievable stuff.
So there's no easy days for the opponent, because David Price may not, I mean, and he's pitching great. He may not get to the starting rotation this year.
No,
I
don't think he will.
They are.
I mean, I guess they could go to him at some point. He's eligible. Jimmy Nelson, who's pitching out of the bullpen and pitching pretty well in high leverage situations. He also is technically a starter, so you could stretch those guys out.
Gonsolin has started games. So, I mean, they've got a bunch of – they're just ridiculously deep.
Yeah, no, they are really good. All right, so I wanted to throw this out there because I came across it. This story is from Reddit, John.
Love Reddit.
Woman had a horrifying experience when her boyfriend's mom came to visit.
Okay.
She explains that she and her boyfriend enjoy, quote-unquote, certain things, including some that involve attaching shackles to the coffee table, which she usually leaves in place out of convenience. The boyfriend's mom came to visit, and the woman forgot...
So you're talking about handcuffs?
Yeah, handcuffs.
Okay.
The boyfriend's mom came to visit. The woman forgot to remove the shackles from the coffee table. The woman says, the mother sits down and says... So I don't want to ask what's up with the handcuffs on the table, but what's up with the handcuffs on the table? Now, if you're that woman, how do you handle that?
Okay, do they have any kids?
No kids. Boyfriend, girlfriend, shackles on the table. Mom comes to visit, wants to know why you've got handcuffs on the table.
This is where a young child would be convenient. You could say, oh, they were playing cops and robbers.
Yes, yes. How do you talk that off?
This is what popped into my head, and I'm going with it. It's not very strong, but I think if I sold it hard, I could get away with it.
Kay.
Are you ready?
Yes, ready.
Okay. Oh, we, you know, Steve and Juan that live around the corner. Yeah. We take care of their dog, and I'm afraid that the dog is going to run out. So I just had, I don't want to tie him to the table, so I attach it to the handcuffs so he can't run away.
That's absolutely idiotic.
Of course it is.
To handcuff a dog.
No, no.
To handcuff his leash. Handcuff his leash to the coffee table. Yeah. That's an interesting approach.
If I don't give a lot of details, I don't think she comes back at me. Hey, John, what are the handcuffs for? Oh, Steve and Juan, they have dogs. We watch them, and
handcuff them to the coffee table.
The dog's leash was getting caught on the coffee table, so we just hitched the leash to the handcuff so he has a little flexibility.
Yeah, that's, you could sell that really hard. By the way, later on in this Reddit post, the woman revealed that her boyfriend's cage was folded up and under the guest bed. So they are into some really unusual stuff.
They're into all the 50 Shades stuff.
Exactly. He's got a cage and shackles on the coffee table. All right. So, John, I have a question for you about LeBron James. Do we have any sense or any understanding for where he is in his recovery?
I've talked to three people about this in the last week.
Yep.
The consensus is that he's progressing. He doesn't have a boot anymore. He hasn't for a week or so. I think that it's not unrealistic to project. We're sitting here on April 19th.
Yep.
I think on May 1st, they're both playing. I think they're both going to play the last 9 games of the season.
That would be fantastic.
But as long as the Lakers are kind of treading water here, they're basically playing .500. There's no reason to rush him back.
That's definitely better than I expected. I mean, there was a point where I thought they were going to have a stretch of like 3-7 or
predicted 1-7 on that road trip.
1-7, yeah. And you know what? And Brooklyn, you know, now with Durant, I've heard people say Durant may never be Durant again. Do you believe that? I mean, he's missed a ton of games this year. Now he's got another
injury. No, here's why I don't
believe
it. And by the way, I hope that's not true. He's a spectacular player.
Oh, he's a fantastic player.
But in the games he's played, if you watch him, he just looks like Durant. I think that, but if he gets any type of a little tweak, I think they say, okay, we need him for the playoffs. So if that guy gets a hangnail, they sit him.
But I don't think they get out of the East without Kevin Durant.
I think the one team that I think they get to the Eastern Conference Finals without Durant. I think that Philly then probably knocks them out.
Yeah, I mean, Embiid is back and is playing monster again. He's fragile, but he's healthy at the moment.
The guy I really can't figure out is Simmons. Okay, so Simmons is probably the defensive player of the year. He's that good on defense. He guards all 5 positions. He's 6'11". He's got Magic Johnson ball handling skills as a guard.
6'9".
Oh, Michael, you think he's 6'9"?
Michael's here.
6'11".
He's taller. He's your height?
Yeah.
Okay. So, but Michael, here's my question about Simmons. What has happened to his offense?
What do you mean?
He's not gotten any better. Outside shot hasn't gotten any better. He gets to the rim in the playoffs, they're going to pull the Stan Van Gundy, build a friggin' wall.
He's settling. He doesn't have that drive to improve himself. He does everything else, like you said, extremely well. His weakness is his jump shot. You would think that's what he would work on every summer, but it looks like he doesn't.
So if you go back and look at Magic Johnson, when he came into the league from Michigan State, everybody says, well, he has no jumper. Well, he just worked on it, worked on it, and after a while, he had no weakness to his game.
Exactly.
Michael, do you think they get to the finals without Kevin Durant?
No, they need Durant to get to the finals and to beat the Lakers.
Yeah, I agree. That's the one thing that gives – I mean, they've got to get him back and got to get him healthy. And I'm sure they're being extra cautious right now.
Yeah.
Because what do these games mean? They don't care if they're the one.
Hey, Michael, I said earlier, I'm curious if you agree. I think the Lakers, if the season ended today, are better positioned than the Clippers are. The Lakers would play Denver in the first round and then probably Utah in the second round. Mm-hmm. The Clippers would have to play Portland in the first round and then Phoenix in the second round. I think Denver's the one you want, right? Because Jamal Murray's down.
Without Murray, they're not the same team. They're still good, but without Murray, they're no longer a championship threat. But the Clippers, no, who did you say in the second round? The Clippers? No, Utah.
No, Utah. We would play Utah. The Lakers would play Utah, and the Clippers would play Phoenix in Phoenix. Phoenix would have home court.
Yeah, but you sound like everybody else out there. Did you see what Utah did the other night without their big boys? I mean, the way they shoot threes, Ireland?
Yeah, they're
dangerous,
good.
Man.
No,
they're
Utah's very good. And with, I mean, obviously, with Gobert and with Donovan Mitchell, they're a very different team.
Okay,
without
but
Mike Conley, different team.
Michael, one of the things I've learned from you is that when the playoffs start, that's when the stars show up.
Right.
And Phoenix has more stars than Utah.
Yeah, but they ain't never been there before.
Yeah, Chris Paul ain't never seen the...
Well, not Chris. I'm talking about the other guys.
Yeah, but he's never been there. He's never gotten out of the second round.
Well, that's true, but he's
no,
been
Chris
to the
Paul,
playoffs.
Chris Paul was one game away from knocking the Warriors out. He made it to the Western Conference Finals 2 years ago.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But the rest of that Phoenix team, this is going to be their first venture into the playoffs. We don't know how Booker and my boy Ayton and the rest of them are going to respond, so we got to wait to see on that.
Hey, Michael, did you take in some baseball this weekend? The baseball's
in. Yeah, I've been checking out that Dodgers and Padres. You can just forget about the rest of the season. Just go right to the NL playoffs.
Yeah, this is an NLCS preview. There's no question about that in my mind.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next for you is Joe Davis, play-by-play voice of the Dodgers. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Gonzalez is 0-1. Swatted to right center field. Diving play! A walk-off catch!
There you have it. That was Saturday's game, which was sealed by that unbelievable diving catch by Mookie Betts at Petco Park. It was a great weekend for baseball. Really good for baseball all in all that there is this chippy and this fantastic a series early in the year that really has grabbed people's attention.
Yeah, and it's... this Dodger team is so fun to watch, and you heard Joe Davis make that call, and Joe is nice enough to join us now. And Joe, we had Kenley Jansen on the show on Friday, and let me start with you where I started with him. Is it you've covered some pretty good Dodger teams that have made it all the way to the World Series. Of course, they won it last year. I think this might be the best Dodger team I've ever seen. Is it too early to say that, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has looked like it through, 16 games.
Yeah.
Pretty remarkable for them. You see so many times teams coming off championships get out of the gate slowly, and they've been the opposite of that. You know, going 13-3 and some days resting four guys, and they have hardly had any days where they've had both Betts and Bellinger in there, and they're still getting the job done. So you guys know, I mean, it baseball is what it is because it takes a full season to know how good you are. We'll see at the end of it, but it's been pretty remarkable what they've done through the first few weeks.
Yesterday in that game, Joe, I'll just pick a moment. I was surprised that Dave Roberts went to that bullpen combination the way that he did, the way he went Gratterall to Santana, as opposed to using the more high leverage guys like Blake Treinen and Corey Knebel. Any sense for why that would be the direction?
Yeah, David, he mentioned it after the game that with Treinen, he had pitched back-to-back days and so wanted to stay away from him. And Knebel is still only a couple years removed from Tommy John. So he had pitched Friday night a little bit, didn't pitch Saturday. Based on that, he's available, right? But I think that it's also showing us how Dave Roberts is viewing this series. While it's incredible for baseball and it's starting to feel like a rivalry, a brewing rivalry between these teams, each game, no matter who you're playing, they still count as one of 162, and he's playing the long game on this. You know, he's not going to manage game 16 of the season like it's life or death.
Joe Davis is with us. Joe, I'll just ask you, my favorite part about doing the Laker games with Michael Thompson is that I learn stuff all the time. I mean, I've done a ton of games like you, but there's stuff he'll bring up that I never thought of before. Oral Hershiser is so good at this that he brings up stuff every game that I don't even think of. I'll give you an example. The other night, there was a good hitter up for the Padres, and I thought, and it was a 2-2 count, and I thought, well, don't throw this guy a strike because he may smash it. And Oral, right when I was thinking it, said, you don't want to go 3-2 to this guy, especially with two outs, because it'll start the runners. And in a close game like this, you got to pay attention to stuff like that. Do you find yourself learning stuff from Oral like the rest of the audiences? Or if you work with him long enough now where you kind of know what he's going to say?
No, every day, man. Every day I learn something from him. And I'm lucky that I spend pretty much every minute of every day with him. So it's not just the 3 hours that everybody else gets to kind of eavesdrop on when we're on the air from 7 to 10. I get to learn from him all day long. And it's incredible what he does on the air. But even more than that, I learn about, this could sound sappy, but I learn about life from him. He's one of the most important people in my life, probably outside awesome. My parents and my wife. He would be the next guy. And yeah, so on the air and off, he blows me away daily.
Yeah, I got to, when I was hosting on Sportsnet postgame, I was hosting the night that Clayton Kershaw threw his no-hitter, and I sat in the conference room there at Spectrum and watched the game with Oral, and it was an unbelievable experience because he kind of took us through it pitch by pitch. I'm curious, you often mention charting pitches. Who's charting those mm-hmm. pitches?
At this point, it's computers. It's based on the movement characteristics with the, you know, with the StatCast. Not to get too deep into, the science of that all, but it's basically the radars and the computers based on pitch characteristics that determines what pitch it is. And there is some human element to it too. Yep. I couldn't tell you exactly what that human element is, but it's much more scientific, I think, than 5-10 years ago when it just would have been the eye test of a scout sitting behind home plate or, you know, somebody hired by MLB.com to plug in what pitch they thought they saw.
Joe Davis is with us. Joe, I want to ask you about Zach McKinstry. Is he, I mean, I know they let Kike go knowing that they had this guy kind of waiting in the wings, but has he arrived a little bit ahead of schedule? It seems to me that he doesn't look like a rookie to me. You're watching him play every night. What do you think?
Yeah, I love it. And there's so many guys that come up. And Oral and I have talked about this, but so many guys that come up through this system that just don't seem phased. They seem so ready. And I think that it kind of is like it kind of goes hand in hand with the idea that they're so stacked at the major league level. Nobody gets brought up before they're ready. Like, you're not brought up out of desperation ever because they're so good at the major league level. The depth is so good. You force your way into the equation. And McKinstry's done that. And my gosh, he looks like, you know, just body language looks like he's been there for 10 years. So I am big on Zach McKinstry.
So, you know, got to see the Padres this weekend and got to see sort of their murderer's row with Fernando Tatis Jr. and Manny Machado and Hosmer and those guys. Rotation-wise, they're going to get Dinelson Lamet back, who's really, really good. I mean, is it fair to say that this is the second-best team in baseball?
I think so, yeah. And they may even down there try to argue that they can be the best. And based on this weekend, look, I mean, 12 innings on Friday night could have gone either way. Mookie makes that incredible play Saturday night. If he doesn't make that, who knows? And then San Diego wins Sunday. So while it felt like the Dodgers were that close to sweeping them and saying, you know, take a back seat, slow your roll, I think that the Padres have to feel pretty good about where they stand in terms of stacking up with the beast, stacking up with kind of the evil empire as it is right now.
Joe Davis is with us. Joe, what are you guys saying about Bellinger? I heard Dave Roberts say that there is no timetable, but have you heard anything? I mean, are they just going to let it heal on its own? He's got a hairline fracture in his leg. Is the plan for him to just rest it and see if he can come back and let it heal itself? Are they looking at surgical options? I really don't know anything. I'm just curious if you do.
Yeah, no, I don't. I've not heard anything spoken about surgery. And I think that typically with these kinds of injuries, that's what it is. It's just rest, right? It's, you know, you rest and you don't want to rush back, especially in a long season like this where you're as deep as you are. That kind of affords you the opportunity to make sure that it's healed. And as far as I understand, that can happen organically just with rest. And hopefully they get him back before too long. But in the meantime, yeah, they're doing okay, and there's no need to rush him back.
You know, Clayton Kershaw, after a rough first start, has been just absolutely money since then in his last three starts. I don't know necessarily that he's lost much on his approach or lost much on his stuff. He still looks really, really good to me.
I agree. Opening day was a little concerning, but I think we can now chalk that up to Coors Field and the stuff being flat, not breaking the way that it does at sea level. He's looked really good in the three starts since then, one in Oakland, one at home, and then the one at San Diego. And it's almost like, don't you guys get the sense watching him that it's like he says, okay, I'm not 95 anymore. My stuff's not the best in the world anymore, but I still know I'm going to get you out. Yeah. I might have to work for it a little differently. I might have to work a little harder, but I'm going to get you out. And I get that sense watching him right now, which is a fun thing to feel.
And as a hitter, he knows how to work a comp, too.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's a moment out of many this weekend, out of many great moments. What a moment that was. First bases-loaded walk for a Dodger pitcher since Yu Darvish in the World Series in 17.
Yeah, that was crazy. So, Joe, last thing for me, what is your expectation level for this team? Mason, we were talking to Jim Bowden, and I said, Jim, is this team going to win 110 games? And he said, I would take the over, which is insane.
Wow.
There's been like three teams that have done that ever. But I don't want to poo-poo the fact that they are probably the most talented team that the Dodgers have had, and at the same time, baseball has a way of humbling people. In the back of your mind, what are you thinking here? Is this a 100-win team, 110? What?
I mean, for the reasons you mentioned, I don't like to look at it and say they're going to threaten the all-time wins record, the 116.
Right.
Just because who knows with baseball, right? I think it's a 100-win team. I'm confident saying that. And I would not be shocked if they threaten the all-time wins record. I would be surprised if it fell short of 100. Just with how good they are, number one. And number two, the rest of the league outside of the Padres, and especially the rest of the division,
yes,
is not very good. So there's going to be a lot of low-hanging fruit for them to pick up when you're playing the Diamondbacks 19 times. We've seen the Rockies are not very good playing them 19 times. Giants have gotten off to a pretty good start, but we'll see. Get 19 games against them. That's a lot of good eating there to rack up wins as you try to perhaps make a run at history with that win total.
So in Seattle tonight, then Thursday back home for a four-game series with the Padres. What's it like calling a game with this limited capacity crowd that they get at Dodger Stadium now?
Honestly, it's amazing. It's only 15,000, but it feels like 50,000 just because it's compared to what we did last year, which was awful. It's sitting in there with a fake crowd noise pumped in. It was better than no baseball, but it was eerie. And you realize that it was even eerier than you had realized now that you remember again what it's like to have fans. It was so cool, that opening homestand, just the 15,000 people. But it's 15,000 people who have seemingly this pent-up passion and joy and energy that they've been waiting a couple of years to let out since it's been so long since they've been at the park. So I can't wait to have that series start on Thursday. Regardless of who they're playing, amazing. But the fact that it's the Padres coming in again, let's do it.
And if you're at Dodger State, you got to watch your nachos. You've got to be on full alert.
Seen, yep.
Yeah. Got to be careful.
No doubt, out in those home run seats. Look out.
Yeah. All right. Hey, listen, Joe, great talking to you. Unbelievable job calling the way. I thought you captured the drama of it. You and Oral were great. We always appreciate you making time for us.
Hey, anytime for you guys, and thanks so much for the nice words.
All right, Joe, thanks, man.
Joe Davis there, television voice of the Los Angeles Dodgers. All right, coming up next for you, Fast Track. I got a bunch of stuff. Ireland's got a bunch of stuff. Make sure you stay exactly where you are, 710 ESPN.